The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We're here, and the second hour is live, as if it would be on tape. Let's continue with more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285, and Fred is up next. Hello, Fred.
Hey, Paul. I would like to talk to you about Georgia's elite schedule, their regular schedule they played, and you tell me how elite they are. Okay, let's go with Clemson. Clemson was not an elite ball team. UAB for sure wasn't an elite ball team.
Hey, Fred.
Let me finish. Fred,
first of all, you want to have a conversation or do you want to yell? You're completely wrong. Clemson was the number two team in the country when they played
them. You're wrong.
And they ended up a number three team in the country, and they ended up winning 10 games. UAB had a pretty good season, won a bowl game. And they played Arkansas when they were in the top 10. They played Kentucky when they were 11th. Alabama when they were in the top 5. And then they beat the number one team. So they beat the number two team. I really have no earthly idea what you're talking about.
No. But when you have two 1,000-yard receivers off your ball team, they didn't beat a good ball team. And if anybody from Georgia thinks that they're the number one team, that's horse.
Fred, Fred, where do you live? I'm just curious to make sure do you live in by yourself, or do you have family members that look after you?
No, I've got family.
Okay. Because Fred, I don't like to say what I'm about to say, but you need help. If you think that.
No, you need help.
Oh, I do.
You need help if you can't realize that second, third ball teams are supposed to be able to play as good as first string players are. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah. Well, okay, so if Georgia is not the best team in the country, would you like to enlighten us on who is?
Alabama was, because we beat them with a healthy ball team. How could Georgia take any kind of pride about beating a team with 2,000-yard receivers going? It just doesn't happen that way.
No, Fred, actually, it does happen that way. Fred,
that's right.
Fred, let me explain a couple of things to you, and then I'll get out of your way. I don't mean to clog up your time here. You have a national championship game. It's designed to have whoever's in there play. And as long as each side has 11 players on the field, the game will go on. It doesn't stop because one of Alabama's top players goes out, nor does it stop if the other side doesn't have one of its top players. So you understand that, don't you?
Yes, I do understand that, but the only fair game that Alabama played with Georgia was the SEC championship. And what did Alabama do to them then? We slaughtered them.
Okay. Well,
with a healthy ball team, Alabama wins. With an unhealthy ball team, Alabama doesn't win.
Okay. And
so who's the best team?
Who's the best team? I don't want to sound like we're in kindergarten. But
answer my question.
So what? Big deal.
Who's the best team? Alabama was. When they were healthy, they beat the snot out of them.
Well, they did beat the snot out of them.
That's the way I feel about that.
I completely agree on that assessment.
Okay. So you agree that Alabama
is the better ball team? Alabama beat the snot out of Georgia in December. And then I would also agree that in January, Georgia beat the snot back out of Alabama.
No, they didn't beat the snot back out of Alabama.
The snot that came out of Georgia ended up coming out of Alabama in Indianapolis. I mean, I was there. I looked on the field, snot everywhere.
I watched the game, too, with 8 minutes left in the ball game.
By the way,
Alabama,
I'm laughing so hard right now, snot's coming out of my mouth and nose.
Well, all right, whatever.
Fred,
I made my point. If Georgia can take pride in beating an Alabama team that was not 100% there.
Fred, you did not make a point. No, you didn't make a point here. You made a.
Yeah, I did make a point.
No, you didn't.
Well, why didn't I? I think I did.
Well, because competition is about who wins. It's not about whether you lose a player or not. And, you know, the history of sports, history of war, the history of everything is based on determining a winner and a loser. And Fred, your team, Alabama, is the loser.
No, we're not the loser. We beat the team when we were healthy. And they didn't beat us, and they beat us when we weren't healthy. We had 2,000 yards of offense gone on a football team.
So I guess it comes down to this.
Is that not true?
Which team beat the other team's snot more? You think it was, did Georgia beat Alabama's snot and knock the snot out of them more, or did Alabama knock more snot out of Georgia?
Well, if you total both games together, we beat them by two more points.
Okay.
So what's that?
That doesn't mean anything.
Yes, it does mean something.
Fred, are you familiar
Hey,
Fred, let me help you with something.
And I hear all this whine and stuff on TV. That really makes me feel good, too, let me tell you.
Fred,
Georgia did not play one good football team all damn year.
And who did Alabama play?
Well, one elite team beat us because their quarterback played at an elite level. Stetson Bennett did not play at an elite level.
Okay. Fred, do you count the 2011 national championship for Alabama?
Yes, I do.
Do you know what happened in November that year?
Yeah. Colt McCoy.
No. That was 2009, Fred. In 2011, LSU played Alabama, and Alabama lost at home 9-6. Alabama didn't win its own division, and then it had a rematch with LSU in the national championship game, and it beat the snot out of LSU and was declared the national champion that you claim. But based on your rationale, maybe it shouldn't count because LSU won the regular season game.
Well, I'm talking about playing teams when both teams are 100%.
Okay. Does that ever happen, Fred?
Yeah. It happened in the SEC championship game.
So, Fred,
Georgia didn't have anybody hurt, did they? Did they?
I really don't remember. It's been a long time.
I think Pickens played. As a matter of fact, we had two defensive backs that were out. How could Georgia take pride in beating an injured Alabama football team? They can't. But I can't understand.
Hey Fred,
Georgia's.
What part of Alabama do you live in?
In Decatur.
Decatur. So you're up in west Alabama?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's right.
You're not that far from Athens. It may be about a 4-hour drive. I'm thinking about riding over to Athens and I'll come pick you up if you want. And I want to take you over to Sanford Stadium Saturday because they're having a national champions celebration. And I want you to repeat this conversation to N'Kobe Dean and Stetson Bennett and Pickens.
And I fully think they would agree with me.
That staff. I want you to tell all these people what you just told us.
Well, hopefully they are listening to me and know I'm telling the truth. I mean.
Fred, what do they say in the South when the conversation is reaching an end? Bless your heart.
Goodbye.
Bless your heart, Fred. Augie is up next.
Paul, you know, yesterday, Legend jumped on you because he claimed you were insinuating your callers are idiots. Remember?
Right, yeah.
And I think in particular, Bama callers.
Right.
Well, this moron Fred just proved the point. This guy's a complete idiot. You were talking about knocking the snot out of people. He was giving me the opposite. He was giving me diarrhea. I mean, his logic was, well, there was no logic. It was a void. You asked him to begin with what state he was living in. The guy's living in a state of denial. This guy has absolutely... This is why people don't like a lot of Alabama fans. They feel entitled. Now, you pointed out to him when LSU played this year, we didn't even have our first string quarterback, really. We were playing with Max Johnson, who was backup. And we didn't have Kayshon Boutte, one of the best receivers in the country. We didn't even have some of our defensive, but we were playing third stringers. And we still held Alabama to 6 yard rushing. And Bama had their whole team healthy, right? They didn't lose anybody when they played us. They had their whole team. And if Ty Davis-Price was a little faster, he'd have scored that touchdown, and we'd have won by 1 point. But you said to me on the phone, every team is one play away from something. Well, in this case, Bama was more than one play away from winning this game. And this guy, Fred, is the poster child, again, the poster child of crybaby Bamites. But going back yesterday to Legend's Call, you didn't insinuate it. You said that Legend was not, he didn't think of this on his own, that he was basically, his strings were being pulled by a puppet master, right?
That is correct.
So I think I know who's pulling the strings, but are you willing to give up your source of intel as to how you draw?
Well, I don't have a. It's a theory. It's not a source. So I believe it's a former caller who is egging Legend on.
So that actually bodes worse for Legend, because it makes him out to be a real moron, that he can be so easily and transparently manipulated by some Svengali somewhere else.
Yeah, I really did feel sorry for him, because I think that's exactly. Augie, thanks for the call. We're up against a break because we have a guest waiting. We will, I'm not sure I will be back, but the show will continue right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Let's get back to the calls. Pete Thamel joining us shortly. And let's check in with Jim, who is in Virginia. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Paul. I had two comments, one about the playoff expansion, one about the national championship.
Sure.
Thought process on the expansion is that, you know, most collegiate players, they don't get an opportunity to play in the playoffs. But if they have a winning season their senior year, they get an opportunity to go to a bowl. I got to think that's a really outstanding experience. And if we expand the playoffs, that's going to go away. And the other thing is, it could be financially driven. But if you expand it, you know, so far, 5 out of the 7 years, there's been a blowout in the first round. And only 2 years has there really been a viable fifth team. So if you expand it, all you're going to do is you're going to add games that are complete blowouts. And who's going to want to tune in and watch blowout games? So my recommendation would be, you know, I think the College Football Committee ought to reach out to network executives, and more importantly, people who are really invested in the sport but don't have a bias, like yourself, Kirk Herbstreit, and Stephen A. Smith, and get a diversity of opinions to come up with the best decision and just not be short-sighted on a revenue game.
It's really an interesting concept there, Jim. Hey, thank you very, very much. I appreciate it. Let's continue with Kathy in Georgia. Hello, Kathy. Go right ahead.
Hi, Paul. It's me again. I just wish that Legend, Jim, Jerome, and everybody would just come back and us all play nice. And we need to do that because they don't need to be like little boys and be bullies. They need to stand up and act like they got a pair and take it and tell Fred.
Okay, Kathy.
Yeah.
You sound like a smart, mature woman. And so you would understand what I'm about to say. To act like you have a pair.
Yep.
You have to have a pair to act like that.
Well, I know, but we're trying to get them some.
Well, I don't, you know, I mean, nowadays you just can't you can't just dial up Amazon and use your Prime account to have delivered a pair because sometimes you just can't.
I know.
It's not that easy. And I think both of those callers have proven that they are missing something very significant. Hey, thank you for the call. Really do appreciate it. David is in California. Hello, David.
Hi, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Long-time listener since the Aggies joined your conference here.
Oh, wonderful.
And
thank you.
I just want to say, first of all, Fred from Alabama, wasn't the A&M three-touchdown underdogs to Alabama with a backup quarterback when the Aggies beat them? So I don't know, understand why they're using this. We didn't have all of our starters. And secondly, be careful whenever Texas joins because they're going to put Alabama people to shame about this. We're all that. And that's all I got to say.
Well, thank you very, very much. Appreciate it. I don't know where to go. David is up next. Hello, David.
Hello.
Hey, good afternoon.
How you doing, Paul?
We are well. Thank you.
Great. I'll just give you a little different perspective, if I could, on this this ball game. Saturday, I was working on a rental house here. My son-in-law called and said, hey, do you want to go to the game Monday night? And, of course, I said, yeah. And he said, well, I'll call you after a while, you know, with the information about the flights. So we take off. We get there. And when we get inside, it's electric.
Oh,
it's
sure.
Really the most amazing atmosphere I've ever been in. And we were right below y'all where y'all were up on the stage for the set.
Right.
And I don't know if y'all noticed, but it was like cows being compressed in a trailer. It was shoulder to shoulder, and it was unbelievable. There were 70% probably Georgia fans there.
At least, yes.
And you could tell it. You could sense it. And, I mean, the whole venue was awesome. I thought Indy did a great job. The other observation was all you guys looked the same, but Laura looked much prettier in person. So that shocked me.
And by the way, I'm just happy that you said I looked like everybody else. that's a 35 year compliment. But you know, you're right about Laura. She is sensational.
Well, another thing, Coach has spoken before about the team that's the most desperate will usually win. And I agree. On the way back, my son-in-law was talking about this. The Georgia people as a whole, around us, below us, because we were pretty much covered in them, they had a look of, if we don't win this, we might commit suicide in Indianapolis. We've got to win this game. And they were destined to do it. Now, regardless if, you know, yeah, we had two guys on offense and defense out. Bryce threw for 370. And with 2 minutes and change, we had an opportunity to score and go for two to tie it. But just like Saban and all the other coaches say, it boils down to just a handful of plays. And you've got to make the plays, all right? You get your opportunity, you get in there, you make the plays. And that's how these kids grow up, you know, and everybody that's on that team is waiting for that opportunity. And so I just wanted to tell y'all, you do a great job. And if I could, I'd give a shout out to my daddy, Billy. When I called him and told him I was getting to go, he said, well, praise the Lord. And I said, well, yeah, I don't know if the Lord's in it, but I'm glad I'm getting to go. So,
David, I'm really glad I flew back with a million Georgia fans, and especially the young ones who have not experienced some of the things that you have. It's a, I mean, I think back to my own life and the events that are indelible in my memory. And I think I don't mean this to sound the wrong way for Alabama fans. For Alabama, it would have been a great victory, another win, and trying to remember which one, where we were for this year versus that year. For Georgia, this is an event that all of you and all of us will remember forever. And I'm really happy for so many Georgia fans who were able to experience it. Ed is up next in Tennessee. Ed, go right ahead.
Yeah, Paul, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to reach out to you today and with a couple of comments and a question. Reference, I think the guy's name was Fred from Alabama, who
yeah.
kept talking about the inequities in the Alabama team, the players that were down. And so you can always tell an Alabama fan, but you can never tell him anything. And I watched you for a couple minutes try to tell that guy, you know, what – really happened, but you know, like I said, you can tell one, but you can never tell them anything. And also another comment I want to make is I tried to get back to you on the 13th of August to wish you a happy Hate Mike Hamilton Day from the great state of Tennessee. And
hey, it's funny, I didn't have a chance to talk to him. I was walking really quickly, and we walked by somebody the other day. I was with John Talty, and somebody said hello, and I just waved. He said that was Mike Hamilton. He now works – who does he work for? He works for somebody in the intercollegiate athletics platform. He's a former AD at Tennessee.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the questions I want to ask you is about the NCAA and the sanctions that they're going to put in place on Tennessee. Is why is it taking so long for the NCAA to come through and make a decision? This is they were there during all the interviews and took statements from everybody. So what's the holdup with the NCAA?
My only information on that is an opportunity I had in November. I was speaking to a group of people in Knoxville, and the chancellor came down, the one that fired Pruitt, and we briefly talked about it, although she didn't – it was just an attitude I got from her, Chancellor Plowman, that – they were getting closer to the end of, I think, their part of it. I think we're going to have to see some sort of agreement with the NCAA because it's a complicated case, and Tennessee has hand-delivered to the NCAA the goods, and in return, you would expect them to grant Tennessee some leniency. We will take a break. More to come. Pete Thamel right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And it's also a great pleasure to welcome to the program Pete Thamel. Pete is the best in the college sports platform for breaking big news and sharp commentary. Today, he is in the headlines. Headline from ESPN, award-winning college football writer Pete Thamel joins ESPN. So I'm so glad, Pete, that you're finally with ESPN, because all the times you put me on the spot for holding the flag and the banner for the network, we can start doing that to you. Congratulations. Thanks for being on.
Hey, thanks, Paul. It's really been a thrill. It's been an overwhelming day hearing just from, you know, people all kind of throughout my life. Everybody from high school friends to college basketball bag men to you see a lot of America, and you see a lot of different people and places during this job, and so it's been a lot of fun to connect with people, and just kind of it's been an outpouring of joy. And certainly so many of my new colleagues have reached out, and like yourself earlier, and really fired up to get going and get working with you guys.
Well, Pete's had an extraordinary career, still rather young, with the New York Times and I think Sports Illustrated and Yahoo, and now of course here. Let's get to some of the events of the week. While you were in these high contract negotiations, the rest of us, and I know you were as well, were watching the national championship unfold, and we haven't had a chance to get your thoughts on Monday night in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I think, Paul, that the best team won. And Kirby Smart figured out a way to get the ending right. And I don't know if this is going to cause some seismic shift in the SEC or any power shifts are going to be balanced. But I do think it was important for Kirby and that program, with the best collection of talent, to figure out a way to win that football game. I thought it was a fun game. I mean, it was just a different game than we're used to in modern college football, with field goals and big punts and, some tremendous, tremendous defensive play. There are a couple of plays by, like, N'Kobe Dean that are in my mind where he just streaks across the field like a missile. And, it's a little bit maybe of a different appreciation that you have for the game than the Joe Burrow LSU team that just, went through you and over you to win the game. But I really think this will be one of those title games where we look back and say there were 40 guys who went on to start in the NFL who played back, probably more than that, quite frankly. Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl told me earlier in the year he thought 17 guys off this Georgia team could end up getting drafted, which would smash the number. So, and look, Stetson Bennett is one of the great stories in the history of college football. It made sense that he ended up, on the morning shows in Transcending Sport, because he's he's a walk-on story of perseverance and betting on yourself for the ages. So that was obviously a fun story to write and to tell from Indianapolis.
Talking to Pete Thamel, and I'm going to see if I make sure I get this correctly, the ESPN college football writer. I bet you'll have a hard time with that. We'll come back and talk a little bit later about what's next in your endeavors there. But I want to ask you about it was predictable, Pete, but it was also exasperating to talk to some of the commissioners. We had Sankey on Monday, and just watch that show unfold in Indianapolis. Days of meeting and nothing accomplished. Business as usual for the CFP.
And, I thought it was interesting, Paul, that that Greg Sankey really put his foot down on Monday afternoon. After the meeting, Bob Bowlsby teed off as much as you're going to see a collegiate commissioner tee off on the process and the people involved in the process. He called it Groundhog Day. Jack Swarbrick had some thoughtful and pointed comments. He's the Notre Dame athletic director that basically said the issues that are still lingering should not be big enough to hold up the process. And, Bowlsby used the word entrenched. And this comes back to a larger conversation, Paul, that you and I have had many times, that a lot of people have had many times. We've had it a million times on the Yahoo Sports College podcast, where there's nobody looking out for the greater good. And there's a seeming majority opinion that the expansion of the playoff would be better for the sport. It would have more opportunity. You would think the Pac-12 would be eager to, and they released a statement saying how eager they are to expand. But they're still locked in with the Rose Bowl, an old problem, right? What's old is new. And they have some revenue sharing questions as well. And, everybody's clinging to their slice of the cookie right now. Everybody's got their – Kevin Warren really wants AQs for the Power Five. That's where he's holding out on. Where the ACC is holding out is still a little bit of a mystery, and I wrote that this week. But my takeaway from that and the sort of what will be remembered out of those meetings was how pointed Bowlsby was in calling out the gridlock, and then how Sankey basically said, we're going to take our ball and go home. Like the tone of it, he didn't say this directly, but the tone of it was, you're lucky we're playing ball with you. Don't forget that. Now the comments were very quintessential Greg Sankey. They're measured. He's a former compliance guy. He's dry. He speaks without a ton of emotion, but he's a thoughtful guy. And I really think that, you know, he made a joke about we probably should ask for two automatic qualifiers if you look at the way things go. But I think his point was very clear, and that was we can eventually do this without you.
And Pete, I know that, you know, some of this rhetoric is predictable, but in talking to all the people and listening to sources that you have, how do you break this deadlock? How does this get solved?
So it's interesting, and Sankey referenced this in his comments. In, I think, December of 18, there was sort of an outcry for some expansion. It was led by Eric Barron of Penn State. He's the president. Our old friend, and he's on the management committee, I believe they call it, of the presidents who sort of oversee this. Our old friend Gordon Gee, who's provided you, I'm sure, with plenty of hours of content,
yes,
all on your show, the president of West Virginia, he's all in on a playoff for the Big 12. And I think it's going to come down to the presidents basically doing what the commissioners can't do right now. And it's going to come down to the presidents making some compromises and taking a stand. And my understanding from talking to sources was that the presidents are ready to do that. The presidents feel like they have to move. You know, Father Jenkins from Notre Dame made that fairly clear, from my understanding, in some of the joint sessions. And I do think it's just going to rise above. Now, look, college commissioners don't do anything without their presidents, right? Like, that's the whole job of being a commissioner, is being aligned with presidents, which is tricky, right? If you're the commissioner of the Big Ten, you have presidents in Nebraska and Iowa and New Jersey and Maryland, right? Very different places, very different viewpoints. So I do think the compromise will have to come from the presidents. And it's just, you know, like, if for automatic qualifiers, for example, like the compromise would be simple, right? They're okay, you the Power Five get an automatic qualifier unless you finished ranked below, and then you negotiate it. Is it below 15? Is it below 25? Is it below 30? Whatever it is, like, there's ways to mitigate the issues. And I guess it's surprising, and, you know, to Bob Bowlesby and others, confounding that they haven't found ways to get there.
Pete Thamel, before you go, Pete, most of the coaching carousel has settled down, but the one that continues to seep into the news is Jim Harbaugh after his great season at Michigan. What are you hearing in relation to Harbaugh in the NFL?
So it's actually pretty interesting that Notre Dame's longtime and really well-respected defensive line coach, Mike Elston, who's a Michigan guy, you know, agreed to take a job there today. A bunch of reports popped up in the last couple hours. And, of course, people are trying to jump to the tea leaves. Does that mean Harbaugh's staying? Does that mean Harbaugh's staying? The feeling I've gotten consistently over the last week or so is that, you know, Harbaugh's ready to listen. And, you know, in past, when there's been NFL stuff that's popped up, he's been pretty pointed in shooting it down on occasion. And and perhaps, like, there's some leverage at stake here. He got his, you know, he got his salary cut in half. He's a proud guy. So, you know, maybe letting the speculation sort of twist a little bit and accumulate becomes a leverage play to help Jim go back to Michigan and you know, make him whole again. But I do think he's the ultimate competitor. I believe, off the top of my head, Paul, he went 41-14 as an NFL head coach. He was an excellent NFL coach. He's been a very good college coach during his time in Michigan. When you look at his record and win percentage and everything, it's been solid. It's been, really been in line, maybe a dip below line than what Michigan history dictates. Michigan's the all-time winningest program, but in the NFL, he was outstanding. Now his exit from San Francisco was as fantastic of an exit. I mean, he's a guy who was a play away from winning the Super Bowl and made a couple NFC title games beyond that, and they were very eager to part ways with him. So, but time, and that's an understatement. So, but seeming, you know, has time healed that in the NFL? Are the Raiders the kind of maverick place where he would go? I think there's some drama to play out there still. And there's been nothing really other than the Elston hire that's emerged that would make you think otherwise, that perhaps, you know, perhaps Jim Harbaugh is wedded to Ann Arbor.
Great stuff from Pete Thamel, who now works for ESPN. Pete, congratulations again. Can't wait to continue these conversations in the future.
Paul, thanks for having me on. Really appreciate the warm welcome.
It is our pleasure. We are taking a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And we're getting ready for basketball all afternoon, a triple header. Jordan Merritt, Auburn in Florida. This game, there's so many things happening. This game was rearranged. I don't know whether it was COVID or something else, but there's a triple header tonight. And Nikki Fargus joins us. We've talked many times as you were in LSU. You're now running the Las Vegas franchise in the WNBA, and it's great to see you again.
Well, it's great to be here. You know, this has been home for me for so long, having played in the league, and sure, obviously my time at Tennessee and then my time at LSU. So good to see you.
Yeah, no, I remember watching you play and coach at Tennessee under Pat Summitt, and I guess no matter where you go, you're never going to outrun that. Nor do you want to.
No, you don't. I mean, Pat Summitt is someone who has been instrumental to so many of us in so many ways, personally, professionally, and obviously we're celebrating the We Back Pat, and a lot of us, the 161, there's 161 alums who were able to play for Pat Summitt, and so we take her with us in all of our endeavors, whether you're a coach, whether, you know, you're president of the Aces, we take her with us.
I'm curious about that. Did the stories ever change, or was she the same with everyone?
I played in the 90s, so I can only tell you what I knew of her in the 90s. And then I think the if we had the 2022 Pat, it might be a little different, because just adjusting to the climate of the personalities of players today. But her philosophy and what she believes in and what her non-negotiables, those were not going to change. As everybody pretty much have heard, we live by the definite dozen. That was kind of like our code of conduct there. And so that gave us a very good platform to make sure that we're doing things the right way in the classroom and on the court.
Coach, it's unusual to have a triple header this afternoon, and we'll see. We saw a promotion for Gary Blair. I know, having coached against him so many times, this is his final year. We'll see him later on. What does it mean to see him make his final tour through the league?
Well, Gary Blair, we were permanent partners, so we got to see each other twice, minimum. Sometimes we saw each other three times. And, it was just so fascinating to watch his teams compete at such a high level with great consistency. And that's what he's been able to do, is have that consistency in our league. But as you know, you win with players, you win with great coaching staffs. You've seen who his resume or his tree is,
sure,
of coaches and what he's meant to the game. We'll live through his players and the coaches that he's touched.
A lot tonight, and of course South Carolina is number one. A couple of seconds left. Try to, in just 30 seconds, put into words what Dawn Staley is doing and what this team is capable of.
Well, South Carolina has set the standard. I mean, they are the bar. I just remember watching the growth of the game and the growth of South Carolina. Dawn Staley has done a phenomenal job of not only engaging players to come to her university, but also the fans to support the university. And her ability to just really be a voice in so many ways for this game. She's like our guardian. I call her the guardian of the games. You used to have like Debbie Ryan and Pat Summitt. Those guys were there. And so now Dawn Staley is taking up that mantle for us.
Coach, we'll see you around here on Thursdays, getting ready for the big nights in women's basketball. Thanks. Congratulations on all you've done out in Vegas with the WNBA, and we'll see you soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We are going to head to the break. Back after this.